The following podcast contains adult language, explicit content, and original opinions.
All content is the opinion of Comics Brew and no one else.
It is meant for mature audiences only, so be warned.
Before we get into this episode of Comics Brew, I want to mention that the Science Nights premieres this Thursday, August 10th. Our first episode goes live both on YouTube and through SoundCloud. It will be a little bit before we end up on Apple Podcasts and other podcast catchers, but it is the Lazy Nights attempt to bring greater science communication to the world of the internet. None of us are experts, but we are sure out to do three things: communicate the tenets of science, learn something ourselves, and make science fun for everybody.
I think the key there being, learn more science.
Which is important.
Learn yourself.
Learn that science.
That being said, be sure to visit science-nights.com or search Science Nights on YouTube starting Thursday, August 10th. Without further ado, Comics Brew!
Welcome back to Comics Brew. This is episode, let me take a look here, 218. I'm Tyler.
Man, episode 2018. I'm Josh.
I'm Adam.
And we got some shit to talk about today.
Gross.
Yeah, we do.
That's gross.
All poop comics, all poop news.
It's all poop office all the time.
Man, that takes me back.
You know what sucks? Like, what? My office was robbed, and I lost one of the catnip poopers.
No!
I still have one of my poops.
Yeah, you're the only one that's got one left. Yeah. Oh, no, Chris has one.
I have the final poop.
But we've still got Big Pooper over here in the corner, and that's where he's going to stay.
I just love that I have a plush of
you have a poop. Yeah, I miss
and
mine.
Not a silly emoji poop, but just like a turd.
Yeah, some asshole that came into my office took a poop.
Well, he's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Speaking of piece of shit, I am one. I'm Josh, and I am drinking...
Self-deprecating.
Wait, an Elysian Immortal IPA. Along with a Rogue Cold Brew IPA, because goddammit, I love that beer.
That cold brew is banging.
That's an IPA, so it's right in my wheelhouse, but it has the flavor of one of those porters or stouts that you two like so much.
Because they're tasty.
Cause they're good.
Because coffee and beer are meant to be together.
They were,
like,
right?
Like chocolate
and
peanut
which
butter.
Which is weird, right? Because one's a sedative, one's a...
How the hell do you think I balance
that's
out?
That's why they go together.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like vodka Red Bull.
Exactly.
Cocaine and heroin.
I guess.
I don't know. Yeah, that one's on you. You have a fun name for every one of the kinds of drug pairs you put together. Do you have a fun name for cocaine and heroin?
They're called speedballs.
Are they really?
Yes.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one. Anywho, I am
usually
drinking
a little crank mixed in there as well.
Jesus fuck. Alright, I'm drinking a Montucky Cold Snack right now.
Good man.
We recorded a next session of Comics Brew Plays.
Out next Wednesday.
Yeah, I had that these for that. But
this Wednesday.
As soon as this is done,
2 days,
I'm gonna be drinking a Founders Brewing Company Redankulous Imperial Red India Pale Ale.
So that's
I decided to go really outside my wheelhouse.
That's the second rendition of Ridiculous that I've heard in my life.
Redankulous?
Redankulous and Redonkulous.
Yep. And this is a 9.5% Imperial Red IPA.
Someone out there is going to come up with Redankulous with an E, and you're just going to be like, no, go.
Redankulous?
Go fuck yourself.
Surprised it's not already a strain of cannabis.
It probably is. No, but
Redankulous?
Like,
yeah. I am almost 100% certain it is. No, but I'm certain that's a cannabis strain somewhere
that's
out
probably.
There.
Googling.
They can name it whatever they want. Adam, before you go Googling, you got a what now?
Good old-fashioned Irish death.
Why do you insist on wrapping it in the paper bag?
Because I'm brown bagging it today, homie.
But you know what it is. And who are you hiding it from, me?
The police.
It's not about who he's hiding it from. It's about the act of hiding.
Yes.
Oh, that he likes the mysterious nature.
Yeah, it makes
kind of
it
like
better
how his character
himself
is on Comics We Played.
And it also makes me think I could have bought him anything and he would have drank it and just said it was an Irish
beer. I double checked.
I double checked.
Yeah. Mama Maul didn't raise no fool.
Mama Maul didn't raise nobody.
Oh, it's fucked up. All right, Adam, it's your news.
Oh, shit. Hey, before we get into this, I went and saw Dunkirk on Sunday. I'm about to tell you how cool Chris Nolan's newest movie is.
Is it dope as hell?
You'll find out next week.
All right, cool.
What movie?
Dunkirk.
Oh, all right.
Adam, bring us news.
I'm still looking to see if Redankulous is a weed strain.
Well, we could vamp a little bit.
We could just pause. I'll cut it out.
No need to cut it out. I already have found my answer. It is not.
No.
It is not a strain of cannabis, shockingly.
Cannabis industry, get on that. You can have it for free.
No.
Why the fuck doesn't somebody have that already?
The cannabis industry makes fucking billions of dollars. Copyright Comics Brew, pay us, motherfucker.
Well, too
but
bad it doesn't work that way.
It's ridiculous with an E, not an A.
It's ridiculous however the fuck we decide to spell it.
Well, they decide to spell it on that beer, so they have the trademark over us.
We do it the other direction.
What?
Ridiculous, how do they spell it?
Normally, ridiculous is R-I.
I know.
This is R-E on the beer.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
We go. Oh, I didn't know.
I thought that's what you were saying with an E.
No, I meant with an E where dank is.
Like D-E-N-K?
Yeah, ridiculous.
This is R-E-D-A-N-K-E-L-S.
Okay, so the word ridiculous is still in full effect. And still in full effect.
Yes, the regular
it's
ridiculous.
It's still in full
affleck. Yeah, whatever.
Cool.
Adam, news, go.
Jesus, really?
Died
for our sins.
That was distracting. So Milestone Media, which has been going through quite the revival recently.
For the last 3 years, I think.
Yeah,
they've been trying to push
lately.
Push hard.
2015, sorry.
Well, 15, 16, 17.
I mean, if you include this as a full year.
All right, 2.5. Anyways, they're actually being sued by one of their creator's estates, although he is...
So, Dwayne McDuffie...
Thank you. There's my phone.
He is the man you know as creating Static Shock. He actually did most of the lead writing on Justice League and Justice League Unlimited for Cartoon Network.
Yes.
Quality he is the one
cartoons.
That, I mean, to be honest, it's because of him that most people know Jon Stewart as Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah. He had a lot to do with, like, if you like the animated Justice League stuff, like, this
that's
is
him.
This
yeah.
is him.
That's
like,
him.
This,
yeah.
is, this, is,
yeah.
this dude, you may not know his name, but he's one of those people that, like, you don't know his work as
but
his
you
work,
know his work.
But you know his work.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I spent many a Saturday morning with this man's...
All-Star Superman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one of his.
Wasn't that one of the last things he did?
Yeah, he died
yeah.
when that happened. Yeah. But yeah, so Dwayne McDuffie
quickly, All-Star Superman is fire.
The comic, the movie not so much.
And the movie.
The movie's
movie
is pretty good,
but
well,
it's
it
not
cuts, like it cuts out my favorite part, which is Bizarro World.
Okay.
So I got a little bit of mixed blessings there. But yeah. Otherwise, it's awesome.
Yeah, and they even deal with Atlas and what's the other
Hercules?
Guy's name?
No, not Hercules.
Samson.
That's yep.
Those two douchebags, they're in it.
Trying to snag Lois.
Basically, Superman goes through the trials of Hercules for Earth.
Yeah,
and it's great.
There's even
reference to like lizard.
That
there
the
are
best,
lizard men.
Yes.
That is the best like Superman book ever. If anything you want to know about Superman as a character, all the possible variations of Superman, his weird past, his weird villains,
yeah.
or the essence of Superman is in All-Star Superman.
I would argue that there's another version specifically just the past, and that's Geoff Johns' Secret Origins.
Yeah, well, see, but that is a strict, that's a different, because it's an origin story.
Yeah, but
I would argue that All-Star Superman...
It doesn't
Superman,
include the 50s weirdness.
Yeah,
Superman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, All-Star Superman encompasses it all, and it does the origin the best the origin has ever done in one page.
Anyway,
we're going far afield. Adam, come on, Dwayne McDuffie.
So his estate, his wife.
His wife and his estate is suing
the other creators of Milestone Media.
Yeah, who has sold out to DC Comics because they basically tried to...
Undercut,
cash out, and get paid.
Or just like capitalize like under the table, like not let them know or not let her know what was going on.
Yeah, so basically they try to get paid without her knowing, even though the McDuffie estate is
half owner.
Yeah. And so they're suing for it. And by all rights, she should. Because he, like, they still control a vast majority of.
So specifically under suit, the Charlotte McDuffie, Dwayne McDuffie's late wife, is suing Reginald Hudlin, Dennis Cowan, and Derek Dingle as individuals, and then as a greater whole, suing Hudlin Entertainment, Milestone Media Company, and Milestone Media Inc. Those six plaintiffs, or those six defendants against her suit, based on the rights of Dwayne McDuffie. Now, on the one hand, absolutely, she should totally do this. This is very similar to the suits that Bill Finger, Bob Kane, and Siegel and Shuster, and Jack Kirby have gone through.
Not quite as high profile, but it's the same kind of thing.
It's exactly the same. It's, to be honest, it's exactly the same thing, but like you said, lower profile.
Mm-hmm.
It is the same suit, differently presented. And also, I mean, it's... I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. These are minority. This is a minority in media problem.
Yes, one of the reasons that Dwayne McDuffie is so important. He's one of the, if you really look at who creates the things that, that people like and that are popular, he's one of the highest profile minority creators.
Absolutely,
Or at least one of the most influential. And
if only on one side, like the one side of the big two, it's him.
Yeah,
it's him. I mean, you have like a civil rights revival in the 1970s from Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams, but other than that, you don't see any kind of minority involvement or inclusion on a creator level until Dwayne McDuffie gets there.
So it's kind of unfortunate that this whole outside thing is
like
going
black exploitation.
Yeah, well,
because like Black Lightning was a thing, and like it was.
But that
to
was,
be honest,
they were gimmicks.
Yeah, Static Shock is one of the first characters created in the 1980s without the name Black in the title.
Well, yeah, he's
of
one
character.
Of the first Black characters in Black.
The Static
well, not
Shock
one of the
is
first.
Black, but like his name is the one of
well,
the.
Well, that's
only...
what I mean. He's one of the first Black characters who has a superhero whose name doesn't have Black,
black
in
the
title.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, I guess not one of the first. I mean, you got a Goliath.
Sure.
But, like, you know, he's one of the first
highest
major
profile
ones.
Yeah.
Like, dude, do you remember the Static Shock cartoon?
Oh, my goodness.
That shit
yes.
was fire. It was
same,
amazing.
Same voice actor as Hermes Conrad in yeah. Static Shock. And you're like, what? do you remember the Justice League episode where you get to meet old
yes.
Static?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he finds out that he's, like, and then Warhawk finds out that he's Hawkgirl and Jon Stewart's son.
Wait, is he?
Yeah, Warhawk in the Justice League Unlimited universe, the one with the metal wings. Yeah, he's Green Lantern and Hawkgirl's son.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay.
That's a big turning point in season two of Justice League Unlimited.
See, I watched all those shows like pretty regularly, but not enough to have seen all of them.
It's not
or
on
in
Netflix
order.
Anymore, dude. They took it off
yeah,
of Netflix.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of
that's
sucky.
A travesty, considering that Young Justice is coming back.
Maybe they'll bring it back with Young Justice.
I hope so, man. Although, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can watch all of Batman the Animated Series.
Or yeah. if you know how to use the internet, you can watch all of Batman the Animated Series.
I know, but
we
try
Comics
to...
We here at Comics Brew do not condone piracy. Wink, wink.
Well, we don't wink, wink. We really don't condone it, but we might participate in it.
Do as we say, not as we do.
Yeah, listen, absolutely, yeah.
Not all pirates were happy all the time.
A lot of them had scurvy.
Yeah. Shit sucks.
Let's move on. Mike Mignola. Tyler, this one might be...
This is actually interesting
to me.
Yeah.
Really
I actually
is.
Linked this specifically for Tyler. So
I saw this myself before
so
you linked
we,
that.
So we announced, what, 2 weeks ago, Mike Mignola was coming back into the Mignolaverse.
Well, I mean... Well, oh, yeah, the Mignolaverse, the comics.
The comics. However, in the previous Hellboy movies, which both of them are fantastic,
One of the few comic franchises where the second is better than the first.
Yes.
Yeah,
and,
Golden Army. Are you kidding me?
Amazing. Oh, yeah. I mean, he had a lot to do with both of those movies. He had a lot of final say over costume design, over
there's
set
actually,
design,
there's
over
only
production a, design, yeah.
Production design, you know, but yeah, production design in general.
There's only one scene in those two movies where he bowed to
Del Toro, yeah. And
it's the
troll market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the
and
troll
he was
market
like,
is
I
amazing.
Never could have.
I mean, otherwise it was like
this,
Mignola
yeah.
or a collaboration with Guillermo del Toro style, but the troll market was the only thing
so,
straight. Mignola backed away and
God,
went,
I want to go watch
this is
both
something
of those movies.
That you do better
you should,
than me.
Two is better than one.
Oh, I know.
So, okay, little aside. You know how Guillermo del Toro won the troll market, right?
Yeah.
If you there's a series on Netflix called Troll Hunters. It stars Anton Yelchin as a voice
actor.
It's
a Guillermo del Toro series.
It is amazing.
I still haven't seen it, but it's good.
It's a coming of age story. So there's a young protagonist, and the young protagonist has two young friends. But on the other side of it, there's an old wizard. The old wizard, or the old sage, the old mentor, is played by Kelsey Grammer. And then the old sage, the old mentor, has a brute, like a big hulking brute to help him, like a thug. But he's a good guy, right?
Yeah.
The big hulking brute thug is played by Fred Tatasciore. Now, Fred Tatasciore is known as playing the Hulk over the last 20 years.
Where's the 6 degrees of separation to the troll market?
The connection of this is
it's all lost.
A Guillermo del Toro production. And it's based around the lore
of
trolls.
What does Troll Hunter...
He just heard the word
that?
Troll and started talking
about
the Troll Hunters.
It's based around trolls. It's all based around
I
trolls.
I totally thought
the production
you were going
design
to bring
is based
in...
around the troll market.
All right, gotcha.
I
see what you're saying. You're talking about the design of Troll Market and then the
show. And this other
show
is based entirely around that. And I was mentioning the merits of it.
I get it.
Anyways.
Mike Mignola's not going
to
be too involved.
Anyways, back to what
we're
talking about.
Yeah.
Mike Mignola, although he had a huge hand to play in the previous Hellboy movies, has a very, very
loose
hand to play with the reboot.
I would argue important.
Still important.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, he's the creator.
So basically, for the reboot of the Hellboy series, quote unquote, Mignola basically said, yes, do this, don't do that, don't do
which
this,
is
Im- yes,
which
do
is
that.
Important because
still very important, but that's where his hand in these new movies stops.
Well, why I think it's important is because even the title of the movie, Hellboy Rise of the Blood Queen, the Blood Queen ends up being, while Hellboy is alive and on Earth, that is like end boss.
Yeah.
That is like the one person who ends up being like, it all leads to her. And this is the end point of his Hellboy story.
It picks up really well on the mics.
I'm sorry. No, it actually really does. I can hear all this crack.
Yeah, you know, you do it as well, and you do it during comics for plays. It's fun.
Yeah, no, I remember doing that. I was sitting there like just kind of cracking him. Thinking, is this going to pick up?
What's fun is that the fart you threw it at him also picked up really well.
Did it?
Yeah.
All right.
I saw the waveform.
But anywho, so Mignola telling them in this particular story, specifically titled with a major Hellboy character, and the reason I differentiate is because the movies, while amazing, mostly had like a Mignola influence, and they kind of had the spirit of Hellboy, but it was a Del Toro story.
Yeah,
it was like a Del Toro story.
Like, were Del Toro to write a one shot?
Yeah,
yeah. And
that's what
that like,
would
it,
be.
It took Mignola's like kind of spirit and tone, and it did Guillermo del Toro style.
If we can take a moment from DC, it's a Mignola Elseworld.
Kinda, yeah. Like, it takes the characters, it takes the world, and it does it in a different style.
It takes
this,
the property.
This is like the way they've described it with the way they want to go with it. Straight R horror, and with this character, this is exactly like the Mignola comics.
Do you think the director, with him being able to say yes or no, but that's it, is going to get a little too weird?
No, are you concerned
about that at all?
No, the reason I like it is because Mignola being able to look at the things. Okay, we take a movie that this seems to be, in terms of description and the title and the main characters and the villain, this is a Mignola movie. And Mignola being able to go, okay,
yes,
this, you know, whatever.
Maybe,
yeah.
It'll align it way more with Mignola Hellboy.
And not a Mignola...
Yeah,
Del Toro
Mignola presents
Del Toro production. Okay. Like, no, I see what you're saying. I get that. Yeah.
I guess the best way I could describe it is I love Hellboy 2.
I'm wondering why you haven't quoted any part of this article that says all these things.
Well, because Adam already did. No, Adam already did. Adam already talked about if you're going to do that story, don't do this or that, change this.
Okay,
That's basically the important part.
Yeah.
Now the reason I'm so in line with this is because the Golden Army had the whole thing with the elves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They are characters in the comics, but they're done way differently in the movie.
Are they better in the movie?
They're used differently. It's a thing.
So they're not better, no worse.
If you took those characters from the movie...
You'd be a great politician.
I would. if you put those characters in the comics, they wouldn't work. But if you took the comic story, it wouldn't work with those characters in the movie.
Yeah.
They fit where the world they're in. So I'm just hoping that Mignola having this yes or no, like, from the get-go, is going to steer it in a direction that is... Because the feeling I get is that Mignola wants a Hellboy on screen that is
his
totally in line with his Hellboy. Yeah.
See, the feeling
I get
to an R-rated
is he has horror
less control over this one. Not only did he get the yes or no with
Del
Toro...
More, that's more control, I think.
Yeah, he had more control with Guillermo del Toro than he does now. So the way I'm reading this is he actually has less control over what is presented as a final product than he did previously.
The thing that I like about it, because you're probably right, he's not going to be there on the set telling me yes or no.
Which seems to be the case with Del Toro.
Yeah, the thing I'm concerned is, the thing I want to see is a Hellboy that has the tone of the comics, which, when you come down to it, is where you have the starting point, what things are you allowed, what stories should you do, and if you do them this way.
So I have
if you do the elves, do them this way, comic way.
A little bit of insight on the Del Toro movies. Ron Perlman's got a memoir called Easy Street the Hard Way.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to it, and he's got the last third of it is about his recent rise to fame through Sons of Anarchy and Hellboy. He says that the original pitch for... Tyler, can you look up for me the original date for Hellboy?
2004. Wait, hold on.
The movie,
Yes, 2004.
Nice. So
got that one right off the dome.
The original pitch for Hellboy was 1999.
Oh, wow.
And Guillermo del Toro approached Ron Perlman first for the role. He had Mike Mignola's blessing, but it was absolutely a Guillermo del Toro
choice.
Like the whole, not just for casting him, but the production.
Okay.
Mike Mignola had actually less of a role.
Okay, because the way you know the story is a little bit different.
Yeah, the way this is presented, I'm basing all of this on Ron Perlman's memoir, so this might be wrong.
His point of view,
if he was approached 5 years before it came out saying, hey, you're Hellboy, or Eric Sarkin,
The disparate is, like, you couldn't, Guillermo del Toro couldn't sell a studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until... they wanted Guillermo to make a specific movie that he was able to leverage Hellboy in.
What was that movie?
I don't remember.
Because I love Guillermo del Toro's stuff. I have not seen enough of it in my opinion.
You know, I kind of like that sort of like background. This happens all the time in Hollywood.
It does.
We're like, okay, I'll make...
Inception.
I want to make this movie.
Inception was made so he could make The Dark Knight.
Yeah. No, all the way around.
Oh, yeah.
The only
reason
Dark Knight was made was because he pitched Inception.
It was Dark Knight Rises,
yeah,
right?
Dark Knight Rises, yeah. Because
Dark Knight...
Because he wanted to end it after... Ledger died. Yeah.
That's kind of a thing about Hollywood that I love, because I feel like a lot of amazing movies come out of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where somebody wants this like passion project and they make some usually
garbage movie. Yeah.
They make like garbage that makes a dollar, mm-hmm. and that's a profit. So then they get to make whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
So,
Hollywood story.
But the reason I bring that up is because you were saying that like Mignola had a heavier hand in Del Toro's. Not the case. He gave Del Toro the okay, and now this yes/no power that Mignola has
is now more
is
powerful.
Way
than...
more v. But like
that's
the
not
credit
the way the story
credit
has been
getting.
Spun, though.
Yeah.
You know, the credit has is it was
yeah.
a
well,
Del Toro.
I guess
and all of this
Mignola
is all of this
crossover.
Is hearsay. We're,
yeah,
we're,
no, we're,
this
we're
off
literally
of an
just
article.
Okay. Look, yeah. We're just being ourselves and bullshitting into the ether. So it's
par
for the course. But
yes.
But I guess what this is like check your sources.
The reason that I like it though is because. They're shooting I'm going to boil this down to a sentence. They're shooting a hard R Hellboy movie about a major villain.
Hellboy character, yeah.
Fantastic.
And that is already, you hit the tone
board.
Of the comic.
On board.
And Mignola has yes or no power.
Yes.
So that says to me two things.
That sounds great.
They got the tone, the director wants to shoot something that is the tone of the comics,
mm-hmm.
and the creator gets to sell them yes or no, which means it'll be closer.
And with a hard R, you know that they have liberty to explore things.
Probably could have condensed this down to 10 minutes.
Probably.
I might. Don't worry, I might do it.
Speaking of
hard
R movies,
goddammit,
Tyler, you're fucking up my transition.
My new beer. So I don't usually drink
red ales
or imperial ales. I drink imperials, but yeah. This is actually really fucking good.
Let me try it.
What is it again?
It's an imperial red.
Yeah.
Tyler, give us a whole rundown on what that beer is.
It's a Imperial Red India Pale Ale. It's
ridiculous,
actually. It's a very smooth beer.
Yeah, I would, actually. If we're throwing a whole big hubbub about
it. It tastes like more of a red ale than an IPA. Maybe it's just because I've already had a Montucky that it doesn't taste as bitter. But like,
no, yeah, that's hop as fuck.
I don't know, man. I like it a lot.
So, first of all, that tastes like an IPA. Second of all, there is a dryness and bitterness that happens with hops, but the most of the time, it's a lack of malts that cause the hoppy taste. If I'm mistaken, you know, everyone will let me know. But
no, they won't.
Yeah, no. I might agree with Adam. That is a nice beer.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk about some Domino.
So, speaking of R-rated comic book movies, Deadpool being the...
Two.
Well, Deadpool 2 is the story, but Deadpool was what I think a lot of fans expected would be a breakout movie, but kind of still shocked Hollywood in general, being a hard R comic book movie.
I think what shocked them was like, oh, it did well.
Exactly what I'm saying, yeah. Like, Deadpool, like, all the fans knew Deadpool could be good and needed to be R, and that's exactly what we got. I don't think Hollywood was ready for the actual success of that.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, they might be with how, like, now we've seen two versions of an R-rated movie that can be good in two different tones.
Oh, and they were both amazing.
In two different tones, though.
Two completely different movies? Both are hard R.
You might also
What's
consider...
the second one we're Logan. Talking about?
Wolverine.
Okay. Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, I knew, but the listeners, you know.
Well,
Logan was fire, by the way.
But you could categorize them as different. Like, Deadpool is self-referential. To the point of absurdity.
Almost. Logan is literally No Country for Old Mutants, and it's fire.
It is, but it's not. Like, there's this, No Country for Old Men has this, like, uncertainty to it throughout the entire movie.
You're right. Okay,
Logan is like an A to B to C
Logan movie. Knows what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
It's just got kind of the same feel.
It has a
except for where they kill the main character off screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing, too. Like, Josh Brolin has no role in it. Tommy Lee Jones is entirely absent.
You understand what I'm saying when
I get what you mean.
It has a similar tone.
Yes. Both movies, fire.
It still needs to be the norm, and it's not. These are outliers. These two things are outliers outside of, like, I would say another outlier outside of the comic book norm would be Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that
broke
that's
the mold.
That's something
it
did. That's
oh, absolutely.
Not,
that movie, like, straight broke it from the beginning and rocked it all the way through.
So,
like,
we have high hopes for Deadpool 2.
We do. We absolutely do.
And we got our first image of Domino.
And we did get our first image of Domino. Before we get into...
I guess that's what we're talking about. First look at Domino.
It's
Zazie
Beetz.
Yes. I don't know. Domino. Before we get really into it, I would like to say that I hope that more studios are willing to take risks on more adult content in comic books, because that is where
Kingsman's
their audience is.
Well, another version of it. Sin City's another version of it. 300's another version
of it.
Yeah,
but, like, 300, Sin City, they didn't break box office.
No.
They're not breaking box office like...
They didn't do bad, yeah.
No, but they're not breaking box office like Deadpool did.
No,
and
Deadpool is probably one of the... Actually, Deadpool's probably one of the most successful superhero movies ever made.
It's the most successful R-rated movie ever made.
Yeah. Like, Deadpool broke records.
Logan didn't beat it.
Yeah.
No.
So I'm hoping with Deadpool and then the success of Logan... and the acclaim of both of these movies, that studios are more willing to take a risk. That's not the story.
But it's not it's a comedy movie, so it's not a huge risk.
No, like, not for Deadpool. Not like Logan was.
Logan was a bigger risk than Deadpool, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. So with the announcement of Deadpool 2 and, you know, Josh Brolin's playing Cable, we got our first look at Zazie Beetz
as Domino. Yeah, that's what
Tyler
this whole
seems to be a little,
is.
Tyler seems to be a little against it, but to be honest, I don't really mind. Domino's character is like, she is just lucky.
Well,
if there's any
problem.
Lucky outcome for her, it's just going to go her way.
So it's not a problem, but I have one thing to say about
this
as well.
She's not Stark
White. Who wants
to
go first?
I'll go first because mine's not an issue. I have always seen Domino, which is the way I've always seen her drawn, as like a gothic, pasty white girl that never sees the sun. That being said, I still think this fits perfectly, and I have no problem with the casting. Fro is a little different than the sheer, grease, straight black hair. But whatever. Okay. Don't care. Full steam ahead.
My issue is almost exactly yours, but here's why. So, what's a Domino?
Black, Domino.
It's black and white.
Black and white. It's either black with white spots.
Or white with black spots.
White with black spots. Traditionally, Domino is drawn, like Adam said, pasty.
White girl.
With an entire black spot.
And a black
suit. Instead, they choose an African-American woman,
and
darker skin color,
spot.
And put her white spot. Just give her the black one. Like, that's my only issue is... I'm sure she'll be fucking great. Like, whatever.
So I see. Because
Domino's a good character. Sure,
absolutely.
It's fine.
So what
just,
I see.
Just fucking go whole hog. If you're going to not cast a pasty white girl, which who gives a fuck?
No, I feel the same way.
Just
absolutely.
Make it a black spot. So she looks like a Domino, which is the name
no,
of the
Tyler,
character.
And this is where I see. She the needs move a, is because she is a woman of color, they're giving her a white spot. She
she's
is
a,
not
okay,
a pasty
this is,
black
this is one
girl.
Of the very few things that I'm going to say. On
whoopsies.
This is one of the very few things I'm going to say on this podcast, which I feel like is going to prevent me from ever
actually
being president.
Actually, the clickbait
no
on
me,
the right
hey,
side of the screen
Adam, shut up.
Is a drawing of...
Adam, shut the fuck up.
No.
This is...
Yeah, that's going to cancel you for being a president.
Yeah,
not
it is.
That, not that, what you're going to say.
Well, yeah. She's an African-American woman, but she's a very light-skinned one. So she's
so
got.
She has to be one of the Dora Milaje until she gets a white patch.
No, I just mean the whole thing about Domino is the con, like
the
whole the
contrast.
Her look is the
is
contrast.
A contrast. Yeah,
make the contrast pop. If you're gonna
okay.
have Domino,
I see what you're saying from a.
I don't think
and that, that's my point. Shitty. That's my shitty, horrible. I feel bad about saying that internal nerd.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it matters.
So
just,
I feel
but,
what
but
most likely sense? Happened at the studio is they go. We want to do this as a woman of color, and we'll give her a white
oh, no.
eye
this,
patch
she's
instead of black.
Be a great character.
Oh, yeah. No, I think she's going to be fantastic.
Because,
oh,
no,
she's a good actress.
Look at it like this.
Yeah.
Deadpool 1 was amazing because of just... It was hilarious.
It was so
it
self-serving.
Was fucking
great. Yeah.
Domino is a character that fucks with probability and luck.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, imagine that in a scenario where it's a comedy movie that's R-rated, that's about guns. Like, she's a perfect fit for
oh,
this
yeah.
movie. It's going to be incredibly
and,
great.
You know, from what we know about Josh Brolin saying he was going to pass until he read the script and saying it was more funny than the first version. There's
exactly.
There's no reason not to have entirely
oh, yeah.
faith
no,
in
I,
this.
I,
what I'm finding about out about the both of you is that you want your coffee with a little less creamer in it if you're going to go with
no,
a
I
Domino
just,
character
I just
like
want,
this. No, it's really
well,
is.
I mean,
you want
okay,
a,
you know
want
what,
a darker
actually?
Skin,
yeah,
you
if
want
you
a darker
want to boil
skin
it down
color,
to that, yes.
You want a darker skin color for a white eye patch.
I want the
or
contrast.
A white skin color for a black skin
black
patch.
I
patch.
Want
Tyler
the contrast.
Wants the extreme of both spectrums.
He wants
the
contrast. Because
that's the character's look.
He's like, that's too much to ask. By the way, I also don't like Heimdall
like,
being black.
No,
but
here's
moving
the thing.
On, let's talk
they
about
they change
Superman.
Both things
hey,
about
Idris Elba's fire. I don't care what role he plays. He
they
can
make,
be Peter Parker.
They make her
Tyler, it's not
you're
like
a racist, we get it.
Apparently
it's okay.
I'm a racist.
Not only that,
I'm
but
sorry.
You're a serial killer
No, you're
too.
Not a racist. You're totally okay with it being a person of color. You're just a tonist because you want it to
a
be
a
darker
tonist.
Tone.
I'm sorry.
Fucking
no,
a.
Like, here's the thing. I don't care who the actress is. Just pick a color that contrasts her skin.
Right, like the white paint with her darker skin color. I get it, Tyler. She's not dark enough.
Hashtag not dark enough. Hashtag feminism.
You know what? Fuck off.
At
both
the end
y'all.
Of all of all and of these shenanigans.
At the end of all this, I will never get elected to public office because of this podcast.
No, I will say no, at the end of all
podcasts.
Of this.
No, I don't mean this specific episode.
Well,
I mean this podcast.
Yeah.
At the end of all of this, the casting looks good.
We're
the,
excited about it.
The reveal photo was kind of great because it mocks the first. Deadpool sitting in front of a fire photo
yeah,
for his
rug.
Costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
she's
never has
like
a lady look
rug.
Good on better on red carpet. We're all on board for Deadpool 2 at the end of the day.
We had a four story, but I'm going to veto it based on time. Let's get into reviews.
Yes.
I'll go.
All
right. You first, man.
Elseworld number one.
Elsewhere.
Elsewhere. Thank you. Written by Jay Farber?
Jay Farber.
Farber. All right.
Art and by AB.
Yeah, art by, yeah. WB AB. Sumier.
Kegskin.
Kegskin, sure.
Keskin.
Kesjin?
Keskin.
Kesjin.
Keskin.
Okay. Anyways, this is an image book because I'm about to break my arm jerking Image off because they're an amazing publisher.
What?
By the way.
Tyler, I don't know if you've noticed this, but like the last 50 reviews I've done, 50. Reviews I've done.
He's done 15 reviews, I think.
50.
Since he started a year ago, he's done 15 reviews.
Over the last large sugar reviews I've done, 98% of them are Image. And most of them
I'm
are new, Image's new books. And this is an Image new book.
However, this follows Amelia Earhart, and what happens after...
It actually did look like a great comic.
And it was actually a lot of fun, and the reveal at the end, it makes me super hyped for issue two. So this book starts out with two kind of like half-furry men, males.
So is that a quarter animal?
You know, sure. It's like Beast, but not blue.
Have you never seen Island of Dr. Moreau?
I have not.
So they have...
Oh, it's a good movie. In a bad
no,
way.
It's not. It's terrible.
No, it's one of those good bad movies, I think.
I have a riff tracks of it.
Oh, I'm down.
I want to see
I'm
that
down,
and
dude.
The original. So imagine
but
Beast.
They're bipedal or mammal-esque.
Yes.
But still resemble their creatures.
No, this is more like literally imagine Beast, but instead of blue, he's got tan skin because he's a tan person.
So he's a human?
But Beast from the X-Men.
Yeah.
Covered in fur.
But it's tan fur?
But it's tan fur.
Okay.
So still...
It's Sabretooth.
Yes. Okay, fair enough. Couple of people that highly resemble Sabretooth, you find the book opens, they're breaking out of some sort of imprisonment. All of a sudden they hear a, hey, help, help me, help me, oh my god, I'm stuck in a tree, help me. And they are just like, man, they're going to hear that noise, those guards will hear the noise, we should go muffle that. But they come across Amelia Earhart tangled in a tree from her parachute. So they rescue her, they run away, and... And the entire time they're running from these guards following these two prisoners, she's just talking with these people, and she brings up, like, the word plane. And they go, whoa, 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 you said the word plane? We don't know what that is, but, like, we have mounts, and they're literally, like, flying horses. But we don't know what a plane is, however, we have heard the word plane. And she's like, well, I need to find my co-pilot who also went down with me, and we bailed out of the plane at the same time. And so the entire time she is on the run with these two people that are breaking out of what you just assume is some sort of prison, she's just kind of telling her story as to she was flying, she was trying to break this record, and then her instruments got all screwy.
Can I just say I love how much fiction there is around Amelia Earhart?
Yeah, no, it's great.
It's such a great mystery.
So, like, literally this story is she crash lands in a world that is not Earth. And a couple of people that are non-human, who are also criminals escaping, rescue her from a tree. Come to find out they're...
It's like John Carter of Mars, but it's Amelia Earhart of wherever.
Never saw John Carter of Mars, never read
but
the book.
But you're familiar with the idea?
Not at all. John Carter went to Mars.
Yes, that's in a nutshell, yeah.
Okay, this is... Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, I guess on that aspect, it's kind of the same. So as she's talking to them as they're running, they come across the farm. They break open the barn door, and they find three, like, God, they're kind of weird, but they're horse-sized with wings, even though they're not, like, a Pegasus, you know? They're a little bit more...
Are they horse-shaped? Horse-adjacent?
No, they're, like, lizards with horse hair. Like, imagine the way a lizard moves.
So I'm imagining the thing Obi-Wan rides in Episode 3.
Oh, yes. Yes, but covered
in horse mane and wings.
And covered in horse hair instead of scales, but very much so with wings. Absolutely, Tyler, that's a great way to look at it. And so they're still trying to escape. Amelia's kind of explaining why she's there. They bust it open, and she hops on. She's like, what do you think? A girl's afraid to fly? And takes off. Really the only self-serving gay woman for power, even though she is absolutely the main character. As they're flying, she kind of drops some other hints. Long story short, she's looking for her co-pilot on her flight when she went missing. And they go, oh, yeah, we heard the word plane when we were imprisoned in there. And for some reason, we'll help you. But, yeah. And so they execute a plant where she gets captured. And she gets brought in through this czar's prison. And she goes, I want my own cell.
I don't want to wait.
And the guards are like, we'll put you in with another one of your kind, which was her goal, to get imprisoned with her co-pilot so they could break out together. They throw her in a cell, and she's just like, Frank, is that you? Because it's all shadowy, and that's the way the art is done.
You find out it's Dan DeVito from fucking...
No. What you find out Always is sunny. She is in this different realm where her plane just kind of
fucked up and had problems. And he goes, the person that's sitting on the bench goes, well, I don't know who Frank is, but my name's D.B. Cooper.
Oh, no shit.
Yes. Oh, so this is a crazy conspiracy book.
This is a crazy conspiracy. This is like a taking conspiracies of aviation and then turning them into this weird fantasy story. I am on board. I like the art is really fun. It's not going to win any awards.
Fictionalized history is always fun.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Especially like weird, they take conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
And then you can roll with them as long as they're plausible. That's the best part. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go next. I got a short and quick review. The last time, 2 weeks ago, Superman number 27 came around. And it was the beginning of
the... Are they still doing it bi-monthly? I mean, I guess 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I didn't know if it was just a publishing schedule.
This is the second part of the Declaration arc. And it's another... like I said last time, this is Superman's heart and soul, truth, justice, and the American way. But it's based, like, just like last time, it was based around them visiting different monuments. This one is also based around them, the Clark family, visiting different monuments. One of them is the Capitol building. The next one is the World War II Memorial. From there, it goes into they actually hunt through the woods of Gettysburg for the Battle of Gettysburg. And
like to the battlefield.
Yeah. And they go through different there's a lot of people at Gettysburg that died outside of the actual battlefield, and they're identified by certain concrete markers. They're little plaques that are buried in the dirt that say,
like, where they died.
Like, here, 42 people stood against 96 Confederates, or 42 Union soldiers stood against 96 Confederates, instead of, like, they're all people.
Like, they just stick it in the middle of, this happened here.
Yeah, this is where, like, the center of the massacre was, or this is where the center of the battle happened. So, after visiting several landmarks in D.C., they come to the Gettysburg Memorial, and they start, through Superman's son, they start to contextualize the different battles of Gettysburg. And as they're rounding a corner, essentially, they come across a family that is celebrating the death of a specific Union soldier who his body was never recovered. It always listed MIA. So for 142 years, this guy has been listed MIA, but his descendants have come to the last known stationed spot and celebrated his birthday because he's never been declared dead. So this is his 142nd birthday or whatever.
Yeah.
So they celebrate. It's a very, you know, rah-rah-rah, truth and justice, like, memorial. And then it cuts to the Clark, like, they get this whole story about the soldier who had, like, suffered and died for his country, and brother versus brother, Civil War, you know, history. At the end of it, it cuts to Superman and Lois laying in bed in their RV that they're using to travel around the country. Mm-hmm. And he starts to, like, she falls asleep. And Superman starts to levitate off the bed, and she rolls over, and she's like, I was wondering how long it would take you to actually go look for this body. And Superman goes and looks for
the... That's why Superman is the best.
He's just laying there awake, and he goes and looks in costume for this lost soldier. And he finds it. And I'd link this to you guys in the chat, and he delivers this corpse to this descendant's family. And he goes, 142 years is enough. I ran DNA samples at the Justice League headquarters. This is Thomas Dowd. Take him home. And so he alters the future of this family who had been celebrating this birthday of an unknown soldier for 100 years plus.
Which is, it's really touching. And I like it.
It buries itself deep inside the mythos of Superman. But this is exactly who Superman is.
But I also want to point out what I also said in the chat. Like, that was just
good,
like,
old soups.
Good old Superman, just like, hey, let me drop this corpse off on your porch. Here you go.
Yeah,
bye.
Later. Yeah. I'm like, out. Peace.
Jesus. From an objective stance,
yeah, he just dropped some bones on someone's, like, fucking picnic
but
table.
But also, you know, it's Superman.
Superman. So, like, he knew, as Clark Kent, he knew the context of the situation.
So this is my other question. So they
I didn't mention the creators. Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason on story, art by Scott Godlewski, and colors by Gabe Eltaeb.
Like, how cavalier is Clark with his identity in this? Like, he's the Kents that meet his family. No, no, no. I know you're shaking your head. Like, he doesn't tell him I'm Clark Kent, but come on. He meets
the family, how else would they know?
The family meets the Kents.
Well, that's like a hallmark of Superman's character, right?
But yeah, he doesn't give a fuck. Really, when it comes down to it, what's more important? Protecting my identity or I met these people and
or being
I can help
a good person.
I can help them yeah. and so I did it.
Yeah, I think
that's...
They know.
These people know.
Sure,
oh,
they're like...
There's no way this is not this dude
that
we met.
Unless they're like, what a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, like, we met this guy, we told him this story, and then...
Well,
like, that,
I mean...
Like, 6 hours later, Superman shows up with
How delusional right-wing are these people? I mean, really, like...
Yeah.
Is this middle America like, oh, the Lord Jesus finally delivered it to us after 142 years? Or is it... Is it like they actually know what's going on?
They have to know that it's him. But either way, it's a very good Superman moment.
Yeah. Superman number 28, I highly recommend it.
So,
go ahead, Tyler.
I'm going to talk at you guys, you dear loyal listeners, about Brandon Small.
How do you know they're not ladies?
I said dear loyal listeners.
You said guys. Dear loyal listeners.
Actually, it's common colloquial norm to refer to guys
as I'm going to talk at you dudes. You dear
you bros.
No, dudes is a gender-neutral term, and I will never accept the word dudette. You dudes, about Galacticon by Brendan Small. Some of you may know Brendan Small as the creator of Home Movies.
So good.
Or also Metalocalypse.
I did not know that. He was the same dude. Really?
Same dude. Now, Galacticon... So, after Metalocalypse was canceled, it stopped being aired. I mean, so he made all the music for Metalocalypse.
Really?
Yes, he made all of it. After Metalocalypse was canceled, he kept making that style of music, but released it under the name Galacticon. So when I saw this on the shelf, and I already knew it was coming out.
Uh-huh.
When I saw it, I was like, oh shit, this is the comic based on the music he was making after Metalocalypse. Yes, I have to get it. I totally have to. Now, I would highly encourage you at this point, pause the episode after I tell you this next sentence. Go look at the cover. Now, from that cover, you would imagine this is like a high-flying, crazy space action adventure series about some weird sci-fi hero. And that's kind of what I expected. It was something completely different.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, you drinking that beer that way, I consider you more ghetto.
Oh, me, totally is. Don't even worry about
it. Brown bagging it, homie. I'm brown bagging it.
Why are you proud of it? That it exudes ignorance and misunderstanding.
I think that statement does.
Yeah. I don't think you understand the struggle I go through. What are you saying, that I don't struggle?
I understand your first world struggle, Mr. Parachute Pants.
These are harem pants. Parachute pants are at home.
They have just different style. There is just as much fabric.
Can I get on
fabric.
With this? Can you guys quit your little squabble?
I'm sorry.
Hey, get off my dick.
Hang on real quick.
How about
quick.
That? How
Hang
about
on
you
real
hop
quick.
Off the dick?
My non-sequiturs are just as distracting as the 3 million questions you have for Chris when we play role-playing games.
You're right. They are. You're not wrong at all.
Probably edited out of this episode.
No.
Well, he's editing, so maybe not.
No. Are you kidding me? So many, like, hypothetical, theoretical questions happened in comics and plays.
Now, let me get on with this. So, Galacticon. I expected a high-flying space adventure, and you know what I got?
A high-flying space adventure?
No, I got
a Western.
No, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this as plain as I can, but I want to preface it by saying I did not.
I am not a racist.
I did like it. I did not enjoy it. That's a bad sentence, but I loved it.
So you did enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. It is about two space celebrities getting divorced.
Oh, darn.
So, Galacticon begins in a prison colony where there's two guards talking to each other. One of them is a new guard who is basically like, he is being instructed to take a prisoner, a very dangerous prisoner, some kind of like just his slot bullshit meal. Because it's not the meal that's important, it's that if the prisoner that he takes his food to eats anything that ever had blood, he will be able to perform his crazy black magic.
So, veggies. He became a vegetarian.
He gets organic slop. And that thing is, that's only the first page. And that's all
but
we...
By organic, from what Josh tells me, that just has
just
to have carbon.
It has to have carbon in it.
Yeah, no, it's very vague. But, like, it sets a tone, like, the first page I was like, oh, shit. There's some weird, crazy prisoner who's got crazy space black magic. They called he's a Demithraxian. He's got weird Demithraxian shit, shape-shifting shit. You know, he can change what he looks like, is what they say. It's like, okay, this is gonna change
what I feel like.
Like, this is gonna be some weird shit. So we get into the story of the main characters, who are Triton, the intergalactic anti-crime solo operative, who is basically he's the main character. He's imagine James Bond mixed with Captain America mixed with, like, Buck Rogers.
So, Captain America.
In space, sort of. But also,
you were gonna go
also
with, like,
a total shithead.
Hugo Chavez or another revolutionary character.
But he's not a revolutionary. He's all about, like, being a crime fighter. But it's all about...
He's a patriot.
It's all about... No, he has no nation. He's in space.
James Bond
Captain
America both have countries they fight for.
That's why I mix it with other people. Try to keep up, Adam.
Two-thirds of the people you mix those with are both hardcore patriots.
But it's about the dissolution of his marriage to fashion icon /blogger...
Nah, Denise Richards.
Lazira Delavazor. Now, their relationship mirrors this weird, like, Superman Lois Lane. They met when she got too close to his story and he had to save her. And then that happened a whole bunch until... one fateful mission where it ended with him proposing to her.
And that sounds very Superman Lois Lane.
That is the same,
like, story. Very
Superman
Lois Lane.
That is the same
Lois
story
Lane.
Of Irredeemable.
Yeah, no, it's
like he proposes and she rejects him and then he, like, fucks up the world.
I haven't read Irredeemable.
Oh, man, it's great.
I know
he
it
has
is.
A nervous breakdown and destroys the world.
So they
Superman's a dick.
They married.
It's Irredeemable and
indestructible.
No, it's incorruptible.
Incorruptible. Thank
okay,
you,
yeah.
Because I've never, like, read it. How do I know that more better than you two?
The heroes and villains
more
basically
better?
Swapping that.
Did you
right?
say more better?
No,
more
I didn't
bestest.
Say more.
I'm pretty sure that's
yeah, what I heard as well. Yeah.
So let me get to the main crux of the story. So they
get
they
there,
met.
Bro.
God damn it! He posted her after his mission. They had this extravagant proposal, but now imagine all this in, like, today's society where there's reality TV and there these people who are two famous celebrities are being watched 24/7. So all of this, they're surrounded by reporters and this is all
manufactured and written by producers because it's reality TV.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this like Bennifer?
But 98% of this comic is Christ alive.
Sorry, I'm proud of that one. I'm just proud that it broke him, is what I'm proud of.
I laughed silently until you were bothered.
He did. He did indeed.
Oh, I'm bothered.
It wasn't until we stopped listening to you. All right,
so Galacticon is a story of an alcoholic former space hero divorcing his celebrity journalist wife. And 95% of this comic is the immediate, before the divorce proceedings, like the final resolution to the end of it.
That's awesome.
It's fucking
great. It's like
great.
A court case?
Essentially, they stand in front of the judge.
Yeah.
You know who the judge is? He is a robot AI who has been programmed to decide this shit in the span of a second.
What?
Yes.
You buried the lead there, buddy.
I was trying to fucking get there, but you wouldn't even let me get through the
Listen,
setup.
Bennifer was a quality joke, all right?
I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying you're an asshole.
You live with me. You should not be surprised.
I already know this. So the honorable...
You look at this asshole
Adam,
every day.
Shut up. Josh, shut up.
Josh is talking. Well,
no, I'm telling you both to shut up. Both of you.
He's just doing it alphabetically.
Yeah. The honorable judge... 57XLP22.1 is a AI who has very recently, been updated to be slightly more partial. To mimic, like, basically real life judges.
Like human compassion?
Yeah.
So he's got.
This
he's
is what I've been trying
weird,
to fucking get
random
to.
Random algorithm.
You two chuckle fucks over here can't shut your fucking mouths. Basically, what I'm getting at is this whole book has Brendan Small's, like, home movies, Metalocalypse humor throughout the whole thing. It's about a divorce proceeding for most of it, but it's fucking hilarious. Like, it doesn't have a lot of, like, I read this sentence and I started laughing out
loud.
So
it has a lot of situational humor?
Yeah, it's really
so
like...
So it's a sitcom?
Basically, it's a sitcom.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
But just
great.
In a really ridiculous setting.
Exactly.
Like
this hero, you want to know one of the reasons they got divorced?
No.
This hero never,
I said no.
He never removed his helmet. He never removed his helmet.
It's like Superman never taking his cape off.
Or
No, but it's like Batman never taking his cowl off.
Or Judge Dredd never removing his helmet.
But this guy, this guy, you look
but
at the cover.
But he fucks you so good.
He's got a mouth cover. The only thing he ever removes is the mouth cover so he can kiss, and that's it. It goes back.
Yeah.
It's always there. So this is like, I expected this crazy high-flying space drama, but it's all about the divorce proceedings and the main character losing his space castle and going on the run from reporters.
Cool.
It was
that
like...
That last 20 seconds of you talking could have been your review for this comic.
I fucking tried to get to it. And you best believe me, I'm going to cut it down to basically that.
That's just going
to
be that.
But it's fucking great.
So really what we're celebrating is how much harder we made this on Tyler.
I'm going to tell you who it's the creative team, and then we're going to move the fuck on.
That's probably a good
idea. Written by Brendan Small with Eric Powell.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Exactly, right? Drawn
by Steve O'Bannon.
Steve
Bannon.
With colors by
Breitbart.
Marissa Luis. You know how I pause there so I can cut all your shit
out? Sure,
Colors by.
This is going to be a hard goddamn editing job.
Reigns Priebus.
Christ, I hate you both.
So, Tyler, you are the godsmith behind the third segment.
Yeah, I broke the third segment. I'm going last.
No, let me tell you.
What the third segment is?
Yeah.
That's probably
Can you both shut up and let me get through it?
No.
Oh, fuck. In the continuing series of Tyler is a psychopath, apparently, I had this idea. There's a lot of animal-themed comic book characters.
Mm-hmm.
Heroes and villains. If you had
Breach.
To... No,
Breach.
Right, let's bring it down a second. Just let me get through this.
I said preach. That's
if
all I
you
said.
Had to eat one,
I was trying to be serious, Tyler. I really was.
Then you said that. Yeah, go ahead.
If you had to eat one, who would taste the best? And you know, like,
how would you prepare it?
Like, yeah, like, how would you do it? Which one would you want to eat, and sort of why? Like, give me the dish.
Sure.
Maybe how you prepare them. Yeah. Maybe if you got one, like a garnish, side
stuff,
dish, that kind of thing. You know, go as deep as you want.
Okay. Can I go first?
No, sure. I'm totally going last.
Can I go first?
Yes.
Josh, me, Adam.
Yeah, cool. So, like all of us, we have all been to the Savage Land. You know, Marvel's famous Savage Land.
Are you
going to
eat Sauron?
I am going to prepare Sauron like a chicken dish should be. So I'm going to make sure that our pterodon human
is. Are you
going to
turn those leathery wings into rinds?
So, you know how there are full pig roasts underground?
Yes, I do. I've had one. They're really good.
I'm going to have a full Sauron roast underground. Apple in the beak, wings and legs spread, ribs succulently roasted over time amidst all of the spices. But you prepare and serve Sauron like a luau.
I'm telling you,
leathery wizard,
gonna give a nice crisp to the skin. Absolutely,
is going to be the most delicious pterodon you've ever had. Also,
you will know
that you destroyed a full human consciousness as you are mowing into that.
He's a mutant.
Delectable beak, a homo superior. So he is still human. Based on genus, not based on species.
Fair enough.
Homo genus, sapien species. So Homo Neanderthalus, who we have mated with several times.
We're not on Science Nights. I don't need the explanation.
We're working with it. There is at least
one. I hold my listeners to a.
I don't need your science shit, nerd.
I hold my listeners to a high standard here on Comics Brew.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
No,
yeah,
it's
your
high.
Listeners, but not yourself.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much.
I did not know the Latin term for a Neanderthal until this year.
Oh.
It's Neanderthalus.
Get on my level.
Like you.
You didn't know it either. Shut up. So I guess it's my turn.
I guess it is your turn. I would still barbecue. I would luau barbecue Sauron. That's my answer.
I got four words for you.
I'm listening.
King shark fin soup.
Oh, man.
Would be delicious.
That'd be like a cauldron size.
I approach this.
King shark is huge.
Right?
King shark is like 10 feet tall.
And actually, I guess I wouldn't really go for the fin. I mean, I
just
probably
King
would.
Shark as a whole. You
yeah,
because
I love sushi.
You're a creep. You know,
I love
you're
sushi.
You're a real creep. You
listen,
eat a
see,
whole person.
I told
Tyler,
you this is the
I
continuing
understand.
Series of Tyler being a psychopath. I love sushi. Sushi's raw. I would.
Tyler, I understand you not wanting to feed into the whole Eastern culture of shark fin soup. However, that shit has to be fire.
No,
so,
yeah, I would probably oh, yeah. eat the shark fin soup.
I like, would totally
king
try
shark,
shark
fin soup.
No, we would do this raw. We would use every part of the king shark.
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I would use all of
the
king
shark.
Shark
fin soup.
Yeah, yeah.
100% of the king shark.
Get a nice slab of
mahi king shark mahi.
And then get
done.
A nice slab
yeah,
of
done.
Shark
totally
steak
done.
Seared on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dude, we're talking
get
the
a little shark tendon salad.
Shark shank.
Yes.
Full king shark treatment. We're yeah. gonna get that. We're gonna get all
six
the
course
pieces.
Meal.
I'm gonna get like a hundred little like little rice patty with a shark fillet
oh,
on top.
Yeah.
Oh shit,
no,
son!
No,
like
yeah.
a little sushi.
And then we
the
eat nigiri with
yeah,
shark.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. I'm talking nigiri, sashimi, all of it. Whole deal.
The whole Magilla. And then we leave.
The whole Magilla of the shark.
Tyler,
we leave.
I now want to eat a shark this way. By the way, that is now on the bucket list. Eat a shark the way
tip
Tyler
to toe?
Said. Yeah.
Tip to toe, tip to shark.
Toe. Nose to fin. We leave the shark smorgasbord.
Delicious.
With two sharky bags. Instead of doggy bags, two sharky bags.
Oh, yeah, no, we're
no,
gonna,
it's
yeah.
all
I mean,
thrown
King
back
Shark's
to the
big
sea.
Big well,
whatever, no, whatever's left over, thrown back to the sea.
Well, that's after you take home the two sharky bags.
No sharky
no.
bags.
Oh, there are sharky bags.
No.
You
King
enjoy...
Shark's a big boy. It's going to take doggy
King
bags.
King Shark is at least an 8-person meal, and we are but 3 people.
We'll get some buddies. We'll all do it.
We'll get bad
right.
flicks and
so
balls.
Adam, what's your
It'll
what's
be
your
well,
one?
Vomitous.
Speaking of buddies, let me set...
Clayface. We're all going to eat Clayface.
Let me set
it's
the scene.
It's always a mutt.
Let me set the
a
scene for you.
A mutt is a man.
All right. Hawaiian Island, sunset.
Already did it.
All right. I'm not done yet. Tiki torches everywhere. A fire.
Just get
a
on
coal
with
bed.
It.
What's in that coal bed? Beast Boy.
As a what?
Several different animals.
He's got a leg of lamb. He's got a shark shank.
Like you said.
Holy shit.
A sand burial cooking? Absolutely.
You told me this. Like days ago when I was drunk as hell.
Yeah, and you forgot. Yeah, you did.
I completely forgot until you said that.
So,
oh,
we got a bit of shark.
You're a psycho.
We got a bit of elephant.
You guys are both crazy people. Both
got,
of you two are crazy persons.
We got a bit of pork because everybody loves pork. But the best part.
So, you just made like an animal or beast boy turn into a chimera and then killed him and cooked him.
Yeah. That's
but
exactly
the best part, Tyler,
did.
All of it, cannibalism.
Can talk. All of it can talk.
All of it, cannibalism. Cannibalism over
I
here.
Like, I
let's
like Josh's
go.
Rendition way better. All of it can talk.
Yeah.
100% of this animal that you're eating is a sentient being.
Yep.
All of it. 100% of it.
So, like, one leg elephant, because who doesn't want to try elephant? It's probably delicious.
You have to force him to change into these things.
Yeah.
No,
well,
no, we're not going to get into how you do that. No, we're not.
He's not going to enjoy this. I'm burying him in sand and lighting him on fire.
Have you seen Casino Royale?
Yes.
So where Mads Mikkelsen starts whacking James Bond in the balls, that's how Adam gets this guy to change fucking characters. I want an arm of an elephant. No, front arm.
No, leg. Leg elephant. Other leg, some other endangered shit. Polar bear. No, panda. All right.
So my guy, when he's mad like Hulk, naturally turns into... I'm trying to justify killing someone for meat.
Yeah, I did too.
My guy naturally turns into it, and he's just like a big chicken, essentially. He's a giant pterodon.
Yeah, I mean, probably tasty. A little gamey, probably.
A little gamey, probably a little tough, like venison's an acquired taste.
Good chew.
Elk is an acquired
good
taste.
Chew.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are fucking psychos. You guys are fucking psychos.
I mean,
I may have cooked a person alive, yes.
In different forms that you've induced. What did you choose?
King Shark.
You're... All right, that's not bad.
I mean, it is kind of bad because it's... I mean,
it's a
continuing... Sushi, that's raw.
It's also a continuing psychosis with you.
Yeah, like I said,
I, however, buried a man alive and
yeah,
let
you're
sand
you're
on top, top of
you're,
him.
Oh,
there,
you
there
pig,
no
pig roasted Beast Boy. Like,
by the way,
fucked up.
Head, just Beast Boy, apple in his mouth.
Jesus Christ.
So, neck down, weird amalgamation of animals.
Please don't ever listen to this.
Neck up, human, but green.
And also, this is why none of us will ever get public office. You know what? I think we should end that.
I
there.
Can totally
I think
still
we're
hold
done.
Public office.
I think we're done with this. I've been Tyler, really disgusted with myself.
I've been Adam. I've had a few lols.
I'm Josh, and it's weird that I feel normal. Like,
and,
I'm normal.
And, no, you don't.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's
and
weird.
This was Comics Brew.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Also, Comics Brew plays on Wednesday. And
check that
science,
shit. Argon's a badass.
Science Nights Thursday. We're gonna have all kinds of sciencey fun. And waiting for players Mondays. Late.
Later, traders.